say, I've had the great privilege of spending a little bit of time with Shafter this morning, just, chauffeuring him here and there, and also sitting in on a class. And I'll just say, Shafter comes with obviously an extensive background. He's currently the rabbi of Young Israel in Woodmere. You can correct me if I'm making mistakes. He's the rabbi and spiritual leader of Yachad, which is the OU's program for individuals with disabilities. He has smicha from Rietz, where he worked together with his father, the very famous Rav Herschel Shafter, and also from the Russia Weiss, who's also the Minchas Option. And I think there's all of that, but there's also the fact that, I've witnessed Rav Shafter has a unique ability to connect with our students, with older people, younger people. He studied a degree in education and administration, so he's also got the professional qualifications to do it as well. And it's a wonderful honour to have you with us. This is a lot of our Jewish Studies team. You'll probably get to know us just because we'll make noise. So the floor's yours.
Okay, so
we have till 1:45.
Sounds great. 1:45 in America, or 1:45 So thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Cohen, and I have to say it's been such a pleasure spending time here this morning, getting to meet a lot of the students. We really had a lovely time in Rabbi Berlin's class this morning, so much so that we went through the period until the next period. I hope that was okay, and we didn't throw off the schedule too much, but it was really a pleasure to engage the students and to talk to them and to be able to field their questions and try to respond to the best of our ability and have discussions. And then it was followed up by a second class, yes, the 8th graders, which was also very special, very engaging.
And you survived it.
What?
No,
the shock is that they survived.
The opt-in ones, okay.
Yes. But it was a really special opportunity. And now, to have the privilege of coming together with the ones who make it all happen, with the educational staff, and I'm uncomfortable that this whole side of the table is not eating. So please... what kind of professional development would it be if we wouldn't eat? So let's make sure that we're full taken care of. And just to come together with the educators, with the mechanchim that make it all happen and put it all together and give up their lives with such noble dignity and with such selflessness is something that to me is always incredibly inspiring. I often meet, when we have professional development days in the United States, I'm every so often asked to meet with the staff as well and the faculty. And I always feel very humbled to be in the presence of those who give their lives day to day in the classroom. And we all know that this is a very difficult job. As the Gemara says, Avoda Kasha Shebemigdash. It's really a great labor of love that we're all involved with. Obviously, none of us are in this for the money, because we would have other things to do if we were looking to make money. None of us are in this for the prestige or the fame, because there is none of that involved in this profession. And we know that it has only become more and more complicated when we try to educate our students, looking around and seeing how there's so much anxiety, and many of our students have a lot of their own mental health issues or bullying in a school or many of the other problems that we have in the United States, I assume you have here as well. I did see a very beautiful image on the office door about abuse and how to respond to it, how to react. I've never seen that in a school, and I think that that's brilliant of you to put that up. Just to make our students aware and to make ourselves aware as well of what the limitations are and what the guidelines are and how we're supposed to behave. But it's very, very difficult. So why is it that we do what we do? Why do we do this? It's just not worth it. So why is it that we do what we do? And I thought that this would be an opportunity for us just to spend a few moments reminding ourselves why it is that we do this holy work of teaching the next generation of our precious children and the grandchildren of all the members of this community, and trying to inspire them. So I open with a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. If you were to imagine what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's schedule is like every day, what does the Ribono Shel Olam do all day? I know that some of you here are in the rabbinate. I've been asked this question many times to my face, Rabbi, what do you do all day? And it's such a degrading question, and I don't mean to ask that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but what does the Ribono Shel Olam do every day? What happens? What's the schedule like? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah gives us an insight as to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is busy with every day. And the Gemara says that a day is comprised of Yud Beis Shos, of 12 hours. So what does he do? The Gemara says the first 3 hours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshe Ba'osik Batorah. first 3 hours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to learn Torah. We all have an obligation to master as much Torah as we can. We have to know how to live good lives. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't learn Torah because he has to know how to live, but he studies Torah the same way we do. The second set of 3 hours in the day, Yoshev Adonis Kala Olam Kula. He has to look around, see what's going on, make a calculation, who's doing the right thing, who's doing the wrong thing, what should be their punishment, how should we deal with them. That's the second set. Fine, the Gemara continues, and then it says, okay, it seems that we have an extra segment of time. We made a calculation of what the Ribono Shel Olam does, but there's an extra segment there that's unaccounted for. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do at that moment in time? And the Gemara there says, at that moment, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Umelame Tinoko Shel Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends a segment of his time every day teaching young children. Now Rashi points out, which young children is he teaching? He's not coming into our schools, into our yeshivas, into this campus and teaching the kids. We're in the classroom. So what is exactly the interpretation of what the Gemara means here? And Rashi says that it means Shemesu Kishahem Katanim. Unfortunately, there are children who pass away at a very untimely age, and they're very young, and their parents and their educators never had an opportunity to teach them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will teach them. And every day he spends time teaching those children. 2 points from this Gemara. Number one, I've had a number of opportunities to spend time with families who have lost young children. And it's a tragedy every single time. No story is the same. No experience is going to be compared to another. It's always an unbelievable tragedy. And what is one supposed to say? How can we say anything? How can we even begin to try to relate to that kind of tragedy? And what I've shared with them is this Gemara. Not that it gives so much comfort, not that it really changes the reality, but at least to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes time every day when the parents are unable to nurture and care for their child, at least we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes time in his day to spend time with those children. Kishamesu kishahem kitanim. But more importantly for our discussion here is that chinuch is an activity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself feels is worthy of his precious time. And that is something that he spends a segment of his day being involved with every day. And I think that it should make us feel great pride in what it is that we've chosen to dedicate our lives toward. This is a magnificent profession, is the wrong word, because it's not a profession, it's an all-encompassing life. And this is a extremely dignified life. It is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends time doing. And we try to emulate him, and that is exactly what we do when we educate his children. The Gemara in Baba Basra quotes a pasuk in Sefer Daniel. V'hamaskilim yazhiru kizohar harakia. The Gemara there is describing that there are those who are shining in such an unusual manner. They illuminate the world. U'matzdike harabim kikochavim le'olam ba'ed. The pasuk says that those who are matzdike harabim, those who bring justice, those who bring help, they are matzdik the rabbim, they are like kochavim le'olam va'ed. And the Gemara says, who is the reference in this pasuk? To which the Gemara answers, it's a reference to melamde tinokos, those who spend their lives, those who invest of their time teaching children and educating them. So much so that the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, an amusing story. So the Gemara tells us that on one occasion, there was a drought in a certain community, and nobody knew what to do. And they were all praying for rain, and there was no rain. Gazar Tainis, so they took upon themselves, we're all going to fast, we're all going to say slichos, we're all going to go out into the streets, and we're going to cry, and we're going to scream, and we're going to shout, and nothing happened. Below Yardu Gishamim. The Gemara says, finally a Shliach Tzibur came down and took the Amud, and suddenly it started to, the wind started to blow. He said a little bit more, Mashav Aruach Merod HaGeshem, started to rain. You ever have that experience when you're saying Mashav Aruach and it's pouring cats and dogs outside? We've had that. So it's reminiscent of this Gemara. So Rav, who is the great Amora, turns to this Shliach Tzibra, to this Chazan, and he says, you know, here I was, I begged for rain, I sat and I cried, and I'm Rav, and nothing happened. I was not answered. Everything remained status quo. And suddenly you, the Shliach Tzibra, walk up to the Amud, and immediately upon saying the words, Mashav Aruach Merod HaGeshem, you are answered exactly the way you want it to be answered. What is it that you've done in your life that makes you worthy of such a response? And the answer that is given in the Gemara is, he tells him, Mama Asecha HaTovin, what are the great deeds you've done? And he says, Amar Lo, Ani Malame Tinokos. I spend my life as a teacher. And Rob looks back at him and he says, so? So my question still stands. So what have you done? And he answers him, Melamed ani lebnei aniyim kebnei ashirim. I am an unbiased educator. I don't give any favoritism to those who come from wealthier families. I teach the bnei aniyim together with the bnei ashirim. They all come together in one classroom, in one school, and they're all given equal treatment. I don't show any preference to one over the other. I have no favoritism in the classroom. And he says, the one who doesn't have money to pay for the education, I take him in malam de bechinam. Why should the children suffer just because the parents cannot afford the tuition? And he says, when I see that a student is not motivated, yeshli mechilo shel dagim. Now obviously we have advanced in our toys that we give out in our incentives. I know that Rabbi Cowan told me that we give out a special trip to Israel every year, right, for those students who motivate themselves. That's a very extreme gift, but in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have such hasagas like we have today. And the Gemara says that this teacher was sharing with Rob what the experience of a classroom is actually like. And he says that I have these little strings that have fish on them, and that was considered to be a great gift, a great delicacy. And I give it out to the children who need a little bit extra motivation. What was that?
Must have been.
Okay.
Our kids would actually do it.
Yeah.
Our kids make a kiddush kavanah.
Amazing. I missed it?
It's actually right now.
Yeah.
It's lunchtime.
Yeah.
Who's actually looking after the entire school? 1,000 kids running around with all the teachers here.
Please God, we should have 1,000 kids in the school.
Okay. What was that?
So please God, we should have 1,000 kids in the school.
We're almost there, it sounds like. We're almost there. Okay, we're getting there. So, I find that Gemara to be amazingly instructive, where the Gemara says that this member of the community was the most celebrated. He was the one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered. He was the one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu preferred over others, because he spent his time dedicating his efforts and his life to taking care of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. And not only that, he does it with such beauty and with such grace, and he does it with such sensitivity, and he understands that there are children coming from different homes. Is that not a perfect description of every member of the faculty sitting in this room? I imagine you would have been fired if it wasn't a description of you. He's a serious head of school here. But it amazes me every time that I see this Gemara, because this is really the educators of our generation. This is not a chiddush to us. This is what a teacher needs to do. This is what all of us do. We try to motivate our students. We try to do our best. We show no favoritism. We try to treat everyone equally. We give equal opportunity to everyone who comes to the school. We know that someone who can't pay the tuition comes to school anyway, and we figure out the shortfall. We figure it all out. But that is what the Gemara says. Those are the most beloved people. You know, education has always been the most important aspect of Jewish life. I am very touched by a medrash that the medrash shares with us about Moshe Rabbeinu. We're told that Moshe barach min hasrar. Moshe Rabbeinu ran away from the mantle of leadership. He really had no interest in this. And he gave every excuse in the world to try to shift this leadership position to someone else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu singles him out and says, you know, I'd like you to be the one to save the Jewish people, to take them out of Egypt, to take them out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I'm a kavad peh, I'm a kavad lashon, I really don't have a very professional way of speaking. I am, you know, I have some speech impediment, I stutter, whatever it is. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am not the worthy candidate. It really doesn't make sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Shlach na b'yad tishlach, you're going to go. And the Medrash says this was going back and forth for 7 days. They were arguing for 7 days straight about whether or not Moshe Rabbeinu should go or Moshe Rabbeinu should not go. Finally, in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, listen, you're going to end up going. I want you to go, so this is the way it's going to end. You're going to go. So let's just stop arguing and let's get on with the program. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the end, takes upon himself the mantle of leadership. He realizes he doesn't have an option. And he goes and he negotiates with Paro as he's instructed to do. He finishes that task. He goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, okay, Asisi shlichu secha. I did what you asked me to do. Now I'm finished. Now can I go home? Now can I retire? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you think you're done? I have more for you to do. I want you to go and do this makkah and that makkah and the other one. And he keeps going back and forth. And after every makkah, he comes back. He returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, you know, I've done the job. Now I'm finished. You asked me to go out of my comfort zone. I did what I was supposed to do. But now let's move on. Let's get someone else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you're finished. Liba sof, says the Medrash in the end. If you want to look this up, this is the first Medrash in Parshas Vayikra. Liba sof, writes the Medrash in the end, Kara lehem asayam. Moshe Rabbeinu performs all the miracles. He's the one who's successful at splitting the sea. Moshe Rabbeinu brings them the Slav. Moshe Rabbeinu brings them the Man. Moshe Rabbeinu brings them the Be'er, the Anani HaKavod. He travels through the desert with them. All of this is going on under the auspices of Moshe Rabbeinu. Amazing. An amazing legacy he leaves over. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu, after all this is done, says, okay, I think I'm done. Do I have a right to retire now? I've worked hard enough in my life. I've done everything and more. What more can you expect of me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you think you're finished? I have a job for you now, as the Medrash says, which is more difficult than anything I've asked you to do until this point. What can that possibly be? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, your job now is Lame Lebeni Tuma V'Tahara. Your job now, your task at this point in your life is to teach, to educate the people the difference between a life of Tuma and a life of Tahara. And that's the beginning of Sefer Vayikra as we're introduced to all the Karbanos. That is the introduction. Moshe Rabbeinu, until this point, was busy doing everything else, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, 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 now I have a job for you which is more difficult but more important than anything else. Because to educate our children about the differences between Tuma and Tahara is the most significant endeavor that we can be involved with. After all, think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu goes down in history not as Moshe Moshienu, not as Moshe Mishichenu. We don't refer to him as Moshe, the one who saved us. He did. We don't refer to him as Moshe Roenu, the one who shepherded us. There are so many different ways in which we can refer to him, but we refer to him as Moshe Rabbeinu, because he is the educator. My father often tells over the story that Rav Soloveitchik was once interviewed by, I think, the New York Times. And they asked him, so how would you size up what it is that you do? And he says, I'm a Malamed. He said, what do you mean? You're a big philosopher. You wrote so many books. You go around the world speaking. He said, no, I'm a Malamed. So they asked him, what is that? He said, I'm an educator. Isn't that a degrading title for you? A man who's so steeped in philosophy, who knows so much, who's a major Talmud Chacham, who has mastered so much of the corpus of Talmud and Halacha. That's what you refer to yourself as, a malamed? And he said, how does the Ribbono Shel Olam refer to himself? Hamalamed Torah La'ama Yisrael. He doesn't seem to think it's degrading for himself to be referred to as the malamed of the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our teacher, and in turn, we are the teachers of his children. But that is the most foundational aspect of Jewish life, is to be focused on education. Isn't it striking? Moshe Rabbeinu, after hundreds of years of the Jews being oppressed in Egypt, finally has the opportunity to take them out. So he goes and he's trying to give a speech, a chizuk. So what would you tell him? Moshe Rabbeinu goes, tries to introduce himself to the Jewish people. What would you say the first thing he should be talking about? Emancipation, he should talk about freedom, he should talk about what a free people do after they finally are out of the shackles of all this slavery, of all this enslavement, of all this oppression of the Egyptians. None of that. None of that. He doesn't talk about a revolt. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say on his very first speech to the Jewish people? Thought about it? V'haya ki yomer aleichem b'neichem leimar. Ma ha'avoda azos lachem. Ki yishalcha bincha machar leimar. The first thing Moshe Rabbeinu focuses on is how are we going to educate our children? It's more important than anything else. It's more important than being free. Because the first thing we need to look forward to is, what are we going to do with our children? How are we going to make sure that they have the greatest opportunity possible at life? And the only way it's going to happen is, if we have a plan as the educators, as the parents, as the grandparents, as the aunts, as the uncles, as the whoever it may be, who is the one in the position of influence, we have the opportunity to educate them, but we need to make sure that we focus on it, and we realize the great responsibility that lies on our shoulders to educate our children. In the Megillah, we talk about Mordechai and Esther. Am I supposed to just talk? Am I supposed to stop? Okay.
You don't have to stop.
In the Megillah, you just walk out on me. It's fine. In the Megillah, yes, I know. She told me in advance. I know. In the Megillah, we know that Mordechai and Haman have a big clash. Things don't seem to be going the way that Haman wants them to be going. Haman comes home one day and he says, I've devised a plan, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people, and he's talking to his family. Vayisaper Haman lezeresh ishto, and Haman tells his wife all the different things that he has in his mind for what he's going to do to destroy the Jewish people. And what does she say in response? Im mizera hayehudim Mordechai, if Mordechai is from the Jewish people, you won't be able to destroy him. So on a simple level, it means if he's from the Jewish people, God has already promised, Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo, he's not going to allow the Jewish people to be destroyed. So it's just an act of futility. It's not worth it. Why are you wasting your time trying to destroy them if God already promised it's not going to happen? God is more powerful than you are. That's the simple understanding. Rav Meir Shapiro, better known as the founder of the Daf Yomi, but he was also the founder of the Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, which in its time was a groundbreaking yeshiva. One of a kind. It didn't exist, a yeshiva like this in the world. Rav Meir Shapiro was very focused on education, and he tried to galvanize people to be excited about education as well, which is why he built the Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. He felt that we need to make a beautiful yeshiva. Everybody needs to see what a beautiful campus we have. Everyone needs to see what a yeshiva could look like. This needs to be the centerpiece of a community. And on that occasion, Rav Meir Shapiro said the following. Perhaps what Haman's wife meant here was not just the fact that if Mordechai is from the Jewish people, you will not be able to destroy him. No, it's deeper than that. Im mizera ha-yehudim, if Mordechai is educating the young children, you will never be able to destroy them. Because our strength, what keeps us going, what keeps us strong, is the fact that we focus, and we have always been focused, on education. And that is what he was being taught as well. We will never be able to be destroyed so long as we continue to educate our youth. I want to close with an amazing letter. A number of years ago, I was in California for Shabbos, and we have very dear friends there by the name of Eli and Adina Reisman. So nobody here really knows who they are, but they're a wonderful family. Eli's grandfather, Rabbi Herschel Reisman, was a Holocaust survivor, and he never spoke about his experience. He just didn't like to talk about it. Later on, Eli made it as a mission to try to figure out how to piece together his grandfather's story. And he was trying to find any artifact that he could, or any piece of evidence, to try to piece together the family history. He wanted to know what exactly the journey was like, how his grandfather ended up where he did. He came across a letter that was then sent to him by the archives in Tel Aviv. And he gave me a copy of the letter because I was so amazed when I saw the original in his house. This letter is signed by his grandfather, Herschel Reisman. It was written in 1945. So what was the letter? It was a group of Jews who relocated after the war to a town called Chenstochov. I don't know where this town is. I don't know much about it. But this town allowed the Jewish community after the war to come as a group together, and they gave them different homes to live in. And this community wanted, with all their passion, to move to Eretz Yisrael. They did not want to be in Europe. They felt that this was just the last stop before they got to Eretz Yisrael. Ultimately, they did get there. But they were trying to send letters to petition the government in Israel to allow them to be sent visas to be able to come to Israel. So this is one of those letters that was sent. The letter was written by Rabbi Herschel Reisman, who was known as the secretary. There was no official office, but he was like the secretary of the Kehillah, and he was writing on their behalf to the community in Tel Aviv to ask the municipality in Tel Aviv to send them to issue them visas. Listen what he writes. Finally, on Gimel Shvat Tavshin Hei, the Germans retreated from our town and they let us go. There were thousands of Jews who were stuck in the camps. Yatsu az the Shechur. Finally, we all were able to go free. And we all had a major decision to make. What were we going to do? Now that we were liberated, now that we were free, where do we start? Where do we go? Hamatzav hu kol kach tragi. This is such a tragic moment. Ein ish sheyehe nishar im mishpachto kol echad hu yasom. Every single one of us is left without parents. We have no family. So he said, we all said to ourselves, may ayin yavo ezri. Where are we going to turn? Who's going to help us? Where are we going to go from here? And he says, we got very lucky that we were set up in this town of Chenstochov. And he writes, none of us had any Sefer Torah, none of us had any tefillin. But then we relocated to this town, and they were very gracious to us. And he says they gave us a communal home, which was able to be used for all of our needs, for whatever we needed. So he says, Kibalnu Rishayon Eitzel Rosh Ha'ir, the mayor of the town of Chenstochov, gave us an allowance. Lika Chabaye Shel Hakila, to take a home and to turn it into a communal JCC, to use it as a multi-purpose home that whatever we needed it for. And he said, over there, we put together many different things. And he says, We have a soup kitchen here where we all make food and we all give it to each other and we all eat together. And he says, we have even built a mikveh with hot water. Can you believe it? In the basement of this home, we built a mikveh, and that was a groundbreaking chiddush that they were able to have hot water in the mikveh. That was amazing. And the last line he writes is, in this multi-purpose home that they use for a beis medrash, for a beis haknesses, for a mikveh, for a soup kitchen, and everything else, he says, we also have a cheder dati avur yiladenu. We also use one of the rooms, one of the parts of this home, as a school. Sheledavonenu, we have no children at all to put in the school. We took one of the rooms in this building to make a yeshiva, to make a school, but we have no children to put in it. A small technical issue. But what I was so amazed by was, we could not imagine a Jewish community without a yeshiva, without a school. So it didn't matter that none of us have any children, they've all been killed. But how can we have a Jewish community without a school? And to me, that just highlights the significance and the centrality of what it means to be a Jewish community. The heart of a Jewish community, the soul of a Jewish community, is the educational enterprises of the community. This is where it all happens. This is where we develop and we nurture the future of every Jewish community. This is where it needs to happen. There is no other place where it will happen. It's our responsibility, it's our privilege, and it's our solemn obligation to do whatever we can to continue to be mechazik each other. We all have the same difficult work that we do just on different sides of the globe, but you should know you're not alone. There are thousands of teachers in my community who are together with you, and thousands of teachers around the world who all feel the same challenge, who are all fighting this uphill battle to educate as best as we can. And we hope and we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should have the siyata d'shmaya, we should have the opportunity to be blessed with divine assistance, that He should help us. He should give us the assistance to be able to give over. He should give us the strength to be able to give over to our children, to educate the next generation to the best of our ability. And we should all be able to have a lot of nachas, not only from our own families, our own children, but from ourselves, and certainly from our children as well. And good Shabbos to everyone.
And I'm sure many of us, we don't need that sort of thing. So thank you so much for giving us exactly the lift we need.
Okay.